If this podcast was an album, it'd be called 88 and Heartbreaks. We roll on with our 1980s look back at Celtics history on this Monday Locked On Celtics. Billy's, let's go. Rainy days back with the vengeance at all the real Celtics fans in attendance. This the truth like 34. This like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global with it, got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. John Corrales here from MassLive.com, welcoming you back to another Locked On Celtics podcast and saying thank you once again for making this podcast part of your daily routine. All of the listens, all of the shares, all of the five-star ratings and good written reviews have made the Locked On Celtics podcast the number one Boston Celtics podcast in existence today. So thank you all for that. Today's show is brought to you by Built Bar. Built Bar is a very tasty, delicious protein bar that is low in calories, high in protein. It's got like a fraction of the sugar and it's kind of delicious. It really is something that I have now worked into my daily routine as far as eating. You can go to builtbar.com and use the promo code Locked On to go ahead and get yourself $10 off a box of what is really the best protein bar out on the market. Today, we roll on with our 1980s examination. The Celtics, in our last podcast, if you missed it, had just won the 1986 championship. But dark times ahead, the Celtics lose Len Bias to tragedy. They lose a finals in 1987 to the Lakers, and then things start to fall apart for the Boston Celtics. So we continue our conversation. It's me with Mike Dinan of RedsArmy.com. Celtics 86, they don't get the Lakers. They get the Rockets. They beat the Rockets. Moving on to 1987. 1987, this is like, we don't know it at the time, but this is the beginning of the end for these guys. 1986, they win this title. They are the dominant team. And now we go back to this trade 2 years ago for a pick that ended up becoming Len Bias. And Len Bias was the bridge. Len Bias was the guy that was going to take this baton from Bird and McHale, Parrish. He's going to be the guy that now transitions. Because at this point, Larry Bird had hurt his back. Kevin McHale hurts his foot. We're now getting to a point where the injuries and the toll is going to start taking, is going to start weighing on the Boston Celtics. Guys don't have the same careers as they have now because they start so much later. Larry Bird is now 31 and Kevin McHale is 30. Parrish is 34. DJ is 33. They played a lot of minutes. They played a lot of games. We're starting to play the back nine with these guys. And obviously the tragedy of Len Bias is a tragedy in and of itself.
Yeah. That, you know, even all these years later, it's been like going on 35 years, right? It's just, it seems like it's still unbelievable that it happened the way that it did. I mean, they traded Henderson, as we talked about. And Henderson, I got to tell you one quick one about him. When he came back, he was traded to Seattle. And when he came back to the Garden for the first time, He led the Sonics to a big win over the Celtics in Boston. And the Sonics weren't good, of course. That's why the trade was so advantageous for the Celtics, because they were going to get a very high draft pick. Henderson comes in with the Sonics and plays one of the best games of his career, no doubt. And they win. And at the final buzzer, Henderson had the ball and he went over to the logo in the middle of the court and spiked the ball on the leprechaun and walked off. I wish I could find that on YouTube, but I remember it clearly. Anyway, back to Len Bias. I mean, everybody knows that story. The Celtics had the number two pick. And despite having the best team in the NBA, they were going to get even better. And then it all fell apart in 2 days. I mean, just, it's, I still can't comprehend that it actually happened that way, that he died.
Yeah. I mean,
it changed everything for the Celtics because, as you said, it was going to be Bird and McHale. Their careers probably would have been extended. I mean, the only thing that stopped Larry Bird from having continued success and still being one of the top players in the game was the injuries. He had the bad back that started developing in the mid-80s. And then we'll talk about this in a little bit. You know, he ended up missing almost the whole season because he had Achilles problems. So, you know, and it just would have been so different if Bias had been there.
Yeah. I mean, how do you plan for a guy dying? I mean, so for people who don't know, you draft, they draft Len Bias, 1986 draft, second overall. Brad Daugherty goes first. And in the post-draft celebration, Len Bias overdoses on cocaine and dies. And, you know, Danny Ainge is talking about, I was with him that night. I was with him. And then the next day, all of a sudden, you hear these stories of you know, what happened. And it's, you don't know that there's this unrealized promise of a guy who was very clearly projected to be one of the best players in the draft, really a guy that most people expected to have a very great NBA career. But even if it wasn't, even if it wasn't, having him alongside, giving those guys a rest, giving those, helping the big three kind of fade into the background rather than have this hard crash, would have been just amazing to see. But in the meantime, like you said, the injuries, I mean, Larry Bird gets hurt, like what, building a retaining wall at his mom's house or at his house in Indiana. Another thing that if it had happened in the Twitter era, can you imagine the animosity that Larry Bird, like, pay somebody to do this work? He's out there shoveling gravel or whatever, and he hurts his back, and that plagues him the rest of his career.
Kevin McHale would have never been shoveling gravel.
No.
It was another. We talked about two different personalities. That was it. Bird was like, you know, I guess he believed in hard work, and he probably thought, I could do this. Instead of like, just, why didn't he think of the bigger picture and say, you know, I'll spend a little money? But he was not that way. And boy, another thing to regret. When things go wrong, everything goes wrong. You know, Murphy's Law.
Yeah. So he's dealing with that. And Walton's not the same in 87. They get to the finals. This 87 season, the Celtics still are, I mean, they're still good. They 59-win team. But that tragedy with Len Bias, the injuries that start hampering guys, they don't have that same weaponry to get to where they ultimately want to be. And then they meet the Lakers again, and this time they lose again to the Lakers.
This was a long, long season in many ways. Bias was projected to be like a Michael Jordan in a power forward's body. And so he didn't have him. Bill Walton broke his foot again, only played 10 games. Scott Wedman needed heel surgery and only played 6 games. So the bench that was a strength the year before now was a weakness. And instead of those guys, they had Greg Kite, who was, I think, like his third or fourth year. But, you know, he was never anything more than just a banger who could get a rebound sometimes. And then they had Darren Day and Fred Roberts, who came from other teams and who were okay. But nobody off the bench that season averaged more than 6 points a game. And the starters, who you said were mostly over 30, they averaged 35 to 40 minutes for the season. And so, you know.
That's crazy.
Then it got to the playoffs, and it got even worse. So,
like, Larry Bird's playing 39 minutes a game.
Yeah, and they're older, and they're getting injured. So they played the Bulls again in the playoffs, as we said. They swept in 3. They beat the Bucks in 7. The Bucks had 50 wins that year. But that was a very difficult series. The Celtics had leads of 2-0 and 3-1, and they almost blew it because they ended up in a game 7 at home, and they were down 8 with 5 minutes left. And the Bucks looked like they were finally going to get by the Celtics, and somehow Boston managed to pull it together, and they won.
I like to exercise. I know how important good nutrition is to your exercise. I know how hard it is to find ways to work that good nutrition into your daily routine. That's why I like Built Bars. First of all, delicious. When I go looking for protein bars or protein shake or some way to get protein into my body after a workout, it's like impossible. It's always chalky stuff or dense stuff. It's horrible, and it's full of things you don't want. Built Bar is simple. It has 15 or more grams of protein. It's all under 200 calories. It's delicious. It tastes good. It's got nut flavors with chocolate, nut-free flavors with chocolate, gluten-free. All of these bars covered with 100% chocolate, still low calorie, high protein. They are healthy. I like to eat them after a workout. It's important after you're exercising to get these things into your body, to get them processed quickly so your body has the fuel to kind of repair. And that's how you get the most out of everything. You use something like a Built Bar, and you have, say, for example, a peanut butter brownie, which is the first one I went for when they sent it to me. I love it. 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar, 3 net carbs. Go check the label on a Clif Bar and see what you get. You're not going to get this. 20 grams of protein, 170 calories, 3 grams of sugar. You're not going to get that. What you're also not going to get is $10 off your first order, which you will if you go to BuiltBar.com, B-U-I-L-T, BuiltBar.com, and use the promo code LOCKEDON. You'll get $10 off your first order. So use the promo code LOCKEDON at BuiltBar.com for $10 off your first order.
You are Locked On Celtics, your daily Boston Celtics podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
But then after that, who's waiting for them but the Pistons, who are now an approved team. They were on the path to where they were going to end up in a couple more years. They were going to win 2 straight championships. So they were getting themselves together. They had Isaiah Thomas, the original. Isaiah Thomas. They had Lambeer, Mahorn, Adrian Dantley, Joe Dumars. They were very talented, and they gave the Celtics trouble. That was the series where Larry Bird stole the ball in game five, saved the day, got the ball to DJ, made a tough layup to win the game with 1 second left. All the games in that series were won by the home team. And there were fights. Bird and Laimbeer had a fight in game three. Parrish famously beat the crap out of Laimbeer in game five and didn't even get called for a foul because the refs kind of missed that call.
That's one of my favorite moments of all time.
Yeah. And Parrish did get suspended for game six, though, by the way.
He did.
But in any case, they got through that series because in game seven, Vinnie Johnson and Adrian Dantley collided and they hit heads together and they were both like almost knocked out and they couldn't play anymore for the Pistons. And the Celtics had a possession that they kept getting offensive rebounds. Five times they had another shot. They kept the ball for more than a minute. And Ainge finally ended that by making a three, and they won that game by a three, by 3 points. I mean, if you have a chance to see the game on a replay, definitely do it because it was like one of the most tense games of all time. And so you see what they were dealing with trying to get back to the finals. And on top of that, they had the injuries. McHale had a broken foot and kept playing. And this is one of the reasons why he walks with a limp today. And Parrish had two sprained ankles, and he had tendonitis in his right elbow. And he was hurting the whole time. And Ainge injured his knee, I think it was against Milwaukee, and he ended up missing a couple of games in the playoffs. And Bird with his back. So it was one thing after another that season, and I think it was Kevin Garnett was one that used the expression grit and balls about one of the Celtics teams later during the KG days. And this 87 Celtics team, they had grit and balls.
They did. They did. And it goes to show how talented they were to still get to the finals. Because with all of the stuff that they were going through, to still get to the finals, they could have easily lost to that the Pistons. But they break through, they get to the finals, and they face the Lakers. And this is one of the big heartbreaks for the Celtics. Now they go to LA, the Lakers have home court. Game one is Lakers win the first two games and they win them fairly easily. The Celtics come home and they win game three, and that's a tough game, and that sets us up for the game four heartbreak. So why don't you take us through those first few games of the series?
Yeah, the Lakers were 11-1 coming into the finals. That was their playoff record in the earlier rounds. 11-1. They cruised. They had no competition in the West. They were healthy. They had the home court advantage for the finals because they had a 65-win season, I think it was. And they had added Michael Thompson. That's Clay's father, for those of you who follow him on Twitter. He's kind of funny on Twitter. But Michael Thompson was the number one pick in the league in the 1978 draft. And he ended up, the Lakers acquired him without giving away very much, and he came off the bench for them. And he was an important factor in these finals. So there was the 2-3-2 format. The first two games in L.A., the Lakers won. They weren't going to have any problem. Celtics recovered and won game three at home. And then in game four, really a must win for the Celtics. You couldn't afford to fall behind 3-1 to the Lakers. And the Celtics had a big lead early in that game. I think it was 18 points, somewhere early third quarter, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And then there was the Lakers started to make their shots, and they went on a run, and now it came, the game was close and came right down to the wire. And Celtics had a two-point lead late in the game. Bird had hit a three. They were up two. Lakers had the ball. Kareem got fouled. He makes the first, misses the second, and in the rebounding, I maintain to this day that Michael Thompson went over Kevin McHale's back and fouled him, and they didn't call it, and the ball went out of bounds off McHale. A rebound of a free throw. You can't give that up, but the Celtics did, so the Lakers got the ball back. They didn't call time. They put it in bounds, and Magic Johnson, clutch player that he was, took the ball across the lane and threw in a little hook shot, put them ahead by one. And Celtics had enough time for one shot, and Bird got open for a three and missed. Nobody could believe it, but the Celtics were down 3-1.
That miss by Larry Bird was like right on point. That was, if I recall correctly, that was one of those, I can't believe you gave me that shot, and I can't believe I missed it. Like,
that's right. He got open on the left wing, and he shot wide open, and it was online, and it looked like it was going in, and it didn't.
Yeah. It was so the Magic hook shot is my first like real memory of like the heartbreak. So this is 1987. So I'm a teenager. I'm 14 years old, and so now I'm starting to live and die. But my history with the Celtics, I've said it before on the podcast, but quickly to summarize, I came into this late. And, you know, the son of immigrant Greek parents, I had no idea about professional basketball. We weren't watching that stuff much. And, like, this is my first experience with the Boston Celtics. I have to go back and learn about this stuff and kind of watch it when I get a chance to. Like, I didn't know at that point when I'm watching this, I didn't realize that they had won a title in 1981. You know, I was 8 years old and people, you know, my parents weren't watching it. They didn't care. So my first like real experience with these teams was the mid 80s and watching the 86, like the Red Sox and the Celtics and really getting a sense of this. So in 87, here comes Magic and he hits that hook shot. I'm like, oh, wow, that's not supposed to happen. And that Bird shot, to hear him tell it, he was expecting, it was almost good for the Lakers to leave him that wide open because it was so surprising to him that it almost seemed to throw him off, that he turned around, was expecting to be challenged, and he wasn't, and it almost did enough to throw him off, just enough for him to miss the shot, and put the Lakers end up going up 3-1. Follow us on our social channels at LO Celtics on Twitter and at Locked On Celtics on Instagram.
Yeah, it was a disappointment, obviously. But, you know, they really lost the game by giving up the big lead that they had. But that was what the Lakers were capable of. They were extremely talented. They knew how to win. And, you know, you couldn't count them out. No lead was big enough.
So the Celtics end up winning game five pretty easily and giving themselves some hope. You got to go back to L.A. and you got to win two games in L.A. if you're going to win this series. And it turns out they couldn't win game six. The Lakers won it, I don't want to say fairly easily. They pull away in the second half. And The Lakers beat the Celtics for the second time in a couple of years, and that is it for the Celtics as far as going to the NBA Finals in the Larry Bird era. That's the Celtics lose in the finals in 1987. Casey Jones gets one more year, and this is it. It's all really starting to fall apart. This is like the Thanos snapping his finger meme.
You know, it's too bad for the 87 Celtics that it ended the way it did, because they really had so much heart and played through so many adverse situations, you know, especially with the injuries that they had. And they got no help from the bench. The playoffs went 23 games for them. Parrish averaged 35 minutes, Ainge 38, McHale 39, Dennis Johnson 41 minutes, and Larry Bird 44 minutes over 23 games. And in the finals, there was no Celtic bench player that even played 10 minutes a game. So it was just Iron Man 5. And they eventually wore out, I think.
I mean, that's really – we like to romanticize the past with just in general. People, when they talk about load management, they go back and they say, this guy played 40 minutes, that guy played 40. They go back to like the Havlicek's and the whatever, and you pick the outliers and say, look at this guy, he did it. Look at that guy, he did it. But if there was a way to get load management into these 80s teams, the Celtics, maybe 87 goes different for the Celtics. Maybe if they were able to kind of have that mentality, it doesn't matter if we win some of these regular season games. We'd rather go into the playoffs healthy than go into them with these injuries. If there's a way to kind of get these guys a little bit healthier going into that playoff run, maybe that playoff run isn't as difficult. Maybe that finals goes a little bit differently.
Yeah, well, if they hadn't lost Len Bias, and if Wegman and Walton had not been injured and been out most of the season, you know, then they wouldn't have had that load management issue. And yeah, maybe they could have been the back-to-back champions.
So now we move on to 1988. The 87-88 season, the Celtics are still really good. They're still the top team in the East, and but it's now the Pistons are different. Now the Pistons are the bad boy Pistons, and they are seething at having not beaten the Celtics. The Celtics are kind of like that hurdle. If we can just get past the Celtics, we can win the title. And this is the year that they finally do. The Celtics, again, look, they have multiple all-stars. Larry Bird's a first-team all-NBA guy. But it's a lot of those same issues are kind of hanging around with the Celtics. The bench is kind of eh. You're rolling out there with Mark Akers and Fred Roberts, and it's not deep. Notably, Reggie Lewis joins the team. He's drafted and is a rookie, but he hasn't had his opportunity yet. But the final couple years here of the 80s does bring about the beginnings of the Reggie Lewis era.
Yeah, Reggie was a very popular draft choice because he played at Northeastern in Boston, and everybody was familiar with him. And so he's very popular, and he was picked 22nd, if I remember right,
I believe,
in the draft. And he I guess there wasn't a lot of expectation for what he might do, but He didn't, and he didn't play very much because Casey Jones was not prone to playing his young players. He, you know, it was kind of in Casey's wheelhouse to play the starters so much because that's the way he wanted to do it. He had to do it, but he wasn't opposed to doing that. So Reggie in his rookie year didn't develop as much as he might have. And unfortunately, that that hurt them toward the end of that 88 season. But at least they got Reggie, and they got something out of the draft, which most of the 80s they did not. They did not get impact players from the draft. Other than Bias, who, of course, never played a game for them, they struck out on a lot of draft picks. Even in 84, they took a player named Michael Young from Houston, and he didn't even make the team. He was a first-round draft pick, and he got cut. So, you know, I mean, it's not a good commentary on the drafting, mostly done by Red Auerbach. So that was where things – that contributed to things starting to go south. But in 88, Walton was gone by now. McHale had foot surgery in the offseason. He missed the first 14 games. Although he did come back and play at a high level, he led the league in field goal percentage the second straight year. And Bird had a outstanding season. He played 76 games, averaged 29.9. His shooting was ridiculous. 527 field goal percentage, 414 three-point percentage, and 916 free throw percentage. That's unbelievable.
Yeah. He's and a 50, he averaged 40-90 guy. Again.
Yeah. Averaged 9 rebounds, 6 assists, and he was second in MVP voting behind Jordan. So, yeah, like you said, they still had a lot of talent. But the other teams, there were other teams catching up to them. Detroit in particular.
86-87 and 87-88, Larry Bird is a 50-40-90 guy. So in that 87 season, he shoots 52.5%, 40% from three, and 91% from the line, which leads the league. And then in 88, like you said, 52.7, 41.5% from three, and 91.6%, which didn't lead the league. I mean, it's amazing. What an amazing shooter he was. And he only took – he shoots 41.5% from three, and he takes three three-pointers per game. It's what he would be now under this attitude. I mean, you always have the possibility of, well, you shoot more threes, you have a possibility of percentage going down. But from 85 to 88, he shoots 42.7, 42.3, 40, 41.4% from three. That I'm kind of just surprised that people didn't look at it back then and go, hey, you know what? If you're shooting 40-something percent from three and you do the math, maybe you should shoot like two or three more of them from three just to see if we can get you up over 30 points. Bird never averaged actually 30 points per game in his career. I bet you with a little bit more of today's attitude that those numbers, that 28.7, 25.8, 28.1, 29.9, those all go up to like 31, 32, 33 points per game. And the people who now look back and say, well, he didn't even average 30 in a game. You could look back and be like, wow, he had that stretch where he averaged 30 plus in all of those games. And just by taking three more threes versus the twos in that same stretch where he shot 40 plus percent, he's shooting 20.4 in 85. He shoots 20.4 two-pointers per game. Then the next year, 17.2, 17.2, 18.9. Drop those all down to 15, throw those extra shots into three, and what's as much as we revere Larry Bird, how different is his career perceived nowadays?
Yeah, well, I think we've pretty much established that Larry Bird was capable of doing whatever he wanted to do on the court. You know, so I think you're right. If he had shot more threes, he would have averaged higher and probably without losing too much off his shooting percentage.
Do not get me started on the people who talk about Larry Bird like he's just some slob and wouldn't even play well in today's NBA. Go watch that Last Dance documentary and see how Jordan was putting himself, trying to get into that stratosphere as Magic and Bird. And he was always putting those two guys together. They are legends. And Larry Bird, what he did, especially in that stretch in the mid-80s, was just insane. The three straight MVPs that he won, the way he played, what would be a dominant player in any era. And if you don't think so, you're just some kid watching YouTube clips and you see a guy that looks like Larry Bird and you say, look at this guy. He wouldn't exist in today's NBA. Larry Bird would torch today's NBA with the added emphasis on threes, with not being able to touch anybody on the perimeter defensively. He would get anywhere he want. He got anywhere he wanted in that league in the 80s. In this league where you can't touch anybody, please. I'm going to leave it there. I'm going to stop. We wrap up the 80s tomorrow on the Tuesday Locked On Celtics podcast. Then we move into the 90s. The 90s sucked, but it's important to break it all down, and we will take another extended look at the 1990s. So subscribe. Go ahead and give this podcast a follow on Spotify. I know it's how a lot of people are starting to listen to their podcast. So if you're on Spotify, follow the podcast on Spotify. You'll get it there too. If you have a good 5-star rating, a good written review, it was very helpful. And like I always say, share the podcast. You can tell all of your friends to share, to listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Also tell all of your friends to go to builtbar.com for $10 off. You can go and get a box of a particular flavor. You can go and mix your box, 15 flavors, 18 bars. Whatever you want to get, there are options. There are a ton of great flavors. There are even new flavors coming out later this month. They are a great size, low calorie, high protein. It's great if you want to use it for breakfast in the morning or something after a workout or just a snack along the way. BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKEDON at checkout for $10 off your first box. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back tomorrow with more of the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.